You are now listening to the Slaw Offices of Russo, Russo, and Peretti.
Welcome back to another episode. Here we are after our long-awaited bye week. We refuel, recharge, take care of some personal things, take care of some business stuff. We are back. So, did you miss us? First of all, second of all, I'm joined as always by my two co-hosts on the East Coast, Kyle Russo.
Yeah, I just want to let everybody know that I am staying committed to the Slaw Office. I'm not transferring. I will be here. I'm not transferring to another place.
And Nick Peretti.
Yeah, I'm over here keeping my talents in Jacksonville.
I have no idea where any of your talents are trying to go or wanting to go.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
But obviously, you're delusional, and this week off has pretty much energized and refueled us. We got a lot on the plate today, guys. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to hit the same topics as we always hit: college football, NFL. We may touch on a little bit of NBA. Crazy-ass incident last night with Caris LeVert. That was crazy, at least visually. I may touch a little bit on that, obviously. And then Carmelo and his ordeal and Jimmy Butler getting traded to Philly. We may touch on a little bit of that. But mostly we're going to keep it, as always, PG-13, as we like to call it. We're going to get into some college football. So they had the rankings come out just now. Did y'all see that? Obviously, it just...
Yeah, it's kind of my job.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. I'm hoping that, you know, you want to, you're saying that you're committed to the Slaw Office, but hell, you can't even commit yourself to the college football.
Well, I was waiting on it. I just didn't know when.
Well, it's no surprise that top 10 is exactly the same as it was last week, so I wouldn't even worry about it.
Okay.
Nothing. The top six, everything remains the same. I think the bump was UCF got moved up because Kentucky lost. So.
Oh, man.
Let's throw a party.
And Florida's the highest ranked 3-loss team in the nation. I guess that's something to hang your hat on.
It's okay. You could hang something on it. I wouldn't hang my hat on it.
In regards to my opening, mine and Nick's, that was to do with Gundy since we're starting off with college. You remember Mike Gundy? You didn't see what he had to say over the weekend about transfers?
No, I didn't see. What did he say? Tell me.
He went off the deep end a little bit. I mean, he had some points, but he went off the deep end a little bit. Basically saying kids nowadays, which is kind of true, kids nowadays, the adversity for 18-year-olds now wasn't what it was 10 years ago, 20 years, 30, whatever you want to – however far you want to go back. But he kind of said basically like when you find adversity now, some of these kids go home, cry about it, and their parents basically pat them on the butt and, you know, hey, it's okay, everything's all right. Where some of us were raised and it was just, it is what it is, get over it and overcome it. You know what I mean? It's time to get after it. So
the day and age of the get after it, get over it, ended like 15 years ago. So
that's not necessarily true. It's all about parenting and these kids. Yeah. It's not all the kids. It's just I don't think Gundy was talking about all kids. I think he was talking about the Kelly Bryants of the world.
Well, he even addressed though. He had two kids transfer from his program, but he even acknowledged he wasn't talking about those kids. But essentially, if you put two and two together, he's talking about those kids. But I don't know the whole story. I just knew that I just saw the meltdown.
Yeah. Gundy usually gets into meltdowns. He's had several. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me.
I'm jacked up about it.
Yeah, well. All right. So, we're not going to touch much on the college football playoffs as far as the rankings. They haven't changed. We will talk about the top-rated team, though, Alabama. Last week, Tua Tagovailoa gets hit in the leg. I think, was it his hip or his knee?
The Mississippi State game?
Yeah, he got in the knee.
It was close. It was close to the knee. It was close. Right. It was closer to the knee than he took against LSU.
Right. So he takes a hit. He comes out. Obviously, Jalen Hurts is hurt. He's on the sideline. He's doing his thing. They bring in Mac Jones, who, you know, I mean, it's not Mike, but y'all could have said who to Come on. Anyways, they bring in Mac Jones, and they look pretty awful. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's Mississippi State. Their defense is pretty damn good. They put a number. They put a whooping. Defensively, they put whoopings on almost everybody. So he comes in the game, and they're pretty stagnant. Now this week, they play the Citadel. And Saban comes out and says, yeah, Tua's playing. How do y'all feel about that?
I think that's not very smart. I don't think that's smart at all. Why would you play Tua in that? I did. That's more of a Nick Saban, Bill Belichick-esque answer, isn't it? You know, like every game's important. Like let's be real, Nick. The Citadel ain't. Come on, stop. And I wanted to touch on this about if Alabama is actually still going to win the national championship without Tua. So let's say Tua gets hurt in these last few weeks or an SEC championship game. Whoa. Like, what are your odds? Like, what do you give? Because right now I'm 100% Alabama wins the national championship. They don't get beat the rest of the year. What is your percentage, say, if Tua goes down for you two?
Okay. Nick, real quick, and we'll get to that, Kyle. Nick, what do you think about Tua playing? Do you think it's just a facade or his comments? Do you think Saban's comments are just – I mean, some guys are saying, oh, it's out of respect, you know, like Kyle said. It's an answer that they're going to give to every game we got to step up and compete. I mean, if he does play, I mean, how long does he play a drive? I mean, is this like the preseason in the NFL for them?
I think it's something like that. I do agree with Kyle, but I'll take the other side. Anyway, for argument's sake, I think you do. I think you have to play your quarterback. You got for consistency purposes. I mean, he's still testing out that knee. Like, who knows how confident he is? So let's if the kid is still saying I'm ready to play, put him out there and kind of keep his rhythm going. But I do believe you need to get that backup in as much as possible because he needs a lot of reps and a lot of game time for just in case anything is to happen to Tua.
Okay, so if Jalen Hurts is not injured, if it's because his ankle was 50-50, they you know he's in that time where I can play if I need to play. Dyer 100% need me to play, I can play, you know. But obviously, you didn't want to play him last week if you didn't need him. You were up big anyway. You were shutting out Mississippi State. They weren't getting anywhere offensively, and neither was Alabama with Mac Jones and at quarterback. So, but my thing is. The whole Tua thing, you're saying being consistent with Tua, put him in and be – I mean, hell, he's played the first half of games pretty much all year. And he's only played, what, 2 fourth quarters this whole year? So – and then he gets hurt on the last fourth quarter against Mississippi State. So
well, let's say the first series of the game he takes a shot or gets rolled up on. Let's say an O-lineman or somebody falls on that knee. I mean, what are we saying then? You know, what are we saying going into the Iron Bowl?
Okay, so you're thinking super duper hypothetically, way down the line, 1,000,000 to 1 chance that the Citadel defensive linemen get to him, right? Is that what you're saying?
It could happen.
I mean, okay.
with the way his knee's looking, it could happen on a non-contact. I mean, you've seen it happen plenty of times, even recently. So,
right.
I think you have to have that contingency plan in place, and I think that it is wise to sit him against a team like the Citadel and give the young backup an opportunity to get a full game experience. Like I said, I wanted to take the other side for argument purposes, but
I'm with you. I'm actually with you on that, Nick. I agree with you more than Kyle. Now, if you play him, let's just say you play him. I think the answer that he gave was a politically correct answer. Obviously, you don't want to take anybody for granted. Blah blah. You know, all bullshit aside. Come on, dude. It's the Citadel, and it's versus Alabama. But I mean, if he gets in, I say he may play one series just to kind of test it out, just to kind of see what it is actually in game time. And then you bring in Mac Jones. Obviously, you bring him in, you got to get him lined up. But you have Jalen Hurts there. If Jalen Hurts is roughly healthy, I mean, do you really play him as well?
You really don't. I mean, he couldn't even walk last week.
Yeah. Dude, I think
he did. Okay, but – okay, you looked at him.
I don't think you're trusting the season on him. I mean –
okay, but he put his helmet on last week. He was ready to go in. He started.
No, bro, look at how he tried to walk on the field. They showed him trying to walk, man. And he's a running quarterback.
It's Jalen Citadel. He doesn't need to run.
I'm talking about it further in the year.
Well, they're not going to – but here's the thing, dude. If you sit Tua out and you put Mac Jones in, what's the – honestly, though, the worst thing that's going to happen, 27-0 Alabama and their defense scores three touchdowns?
No, I'm not – I mean – yeah, I'm not worried about – that's why I said it's not a big deal. You can start Mac Jones and they'll win 34-0. So, right. I mean – or seven. Okay. Who knows? But
okay. So we'll snowball into the next thing. You said Tua out. What's the probability?
Okay. Yeah, what's your percentage? Give me your best. Okay.
Jalen sits all year. They make it through, they win everything. Is he ready for the college football playoffs? Is Jalen Hurts?
He might be.
If he plays, that's 95% chance they win it all. If Jalen Hurts plays. If Mac Jones plays, 70% chance they win it all. And only because Alabama's defense is too damn good. They really are. They've gone nine quarters without allowing anything at all.
Well, listen, if Najee Harris isn't injured, I didn't really see if he got any playing time this last week, and I didn't check up on him personally, but they have a stable. I mean, they always have a stable, but they have a stable of running back. So they could lean on that same style of play that they had this whole time before Tua got there. You know, I mean,
until they get to Clemson because of Clemson's defensive line, or until they get to Georgia because of theirs. I mean, they're
The thing. Alabama arguably has the best offensive line in the league in the nation. So, I mean, they could still play big man football with anybody. So it don't really matter. Now, right. here's the difference. The reason why Clemson gave them all that trouble is because they could pass the ball at a high rate, efficient rate, and electric. They were electric. Clemson was electric, all right, and they scored fast and quick. And Clemson's not the same team. They're not the same team.
Defensive line. You were talking about switching their style to just running the game or to the run game and the line on running backs. That'll work until they get to Clemson.
Yeah, well, you still have to account for their offense and what their offense is going to do to win the game. You know, so I mean, you can say their defensive front all day, but you know, they still going to score on Alabama.
If Jalen Hurts is healthy and Tua goes down, and Jalen Hurts is healthy, it's 100% Alabama still wins. They're that good. Their offense is the best it's been in years. Could just complete. He has weapons. He can run that offense. He made it to the championship game 2 years in a row as a starting quarterback. There's no reason to think otherwise this year. I'll continue to say that until I'm blue in the face. And I just don't think there's another team as good as Alabama that could do it. If the third string comes in, if Mac Jones comes in, the third string quarterback, then I think the rest of the nation has a little bit more of a chance. And that's a shame that it takes a third-string quarterback for you to even feel confident in another team knocking off Alabama. At this point, they've built it, and it's ridiculous.
At this point, if Tua doesn't play, I got it at 75% for both of them because Hurts can't run, and that's what Hurts does.
But we're getting into the point where Hurts is healthy enough to maneuver
around. He ain't going to be healthy enough to do what he does.
I mean,
he's on that offense. I'm saying
he could be serviceable enough
with him. Are you listening to the medical examiner? Are you over there telling me he's not going to be healthy enough? How do you know?
Because I saw him.
He can make plays with
his arm. He can make plays, but he ain't.
He act like he's a bum, dude.
For one, I never said the kid was a bum. Last year he went through a string of three or four straight games. The first pass he threw was an interception. So that's not a stud throwing the ball, just to let you guys know that. All right. For two, my main point here is if you saw him walk last week, it doesn't take a freaking doctor to know that this kid ain't gonna be ready in a month. He might be ready, but not to his capabilities. That's my point.
If I'm Nick Saban and I'm Alabama, I don't need Jalen Hurts 100% to win a national title. Give me 80%, 75-80% Jalen Hurts, I'm winning the national title.
Give him a 70% Jalen Hurts, you get a 70% chance of winning a national title.
You still got a 90, 95, like I said. Because, dude, you still have everybody else around him. The guy knows
exactly.
He can run the offense. How often are they running? They're not running. And he's not throwing. He don't have to throw deep. He can nickel and dime them. Yes, he can't make the big throws all the time like Tua, but he could still make the underneath throws. He could still make plays for you. And he's going to be able to maneuver. He's not going to be as fast. He's not going to be as elusive as he was. He's still going to make plays.
I think it was a good question. I think it definitely sparked up some argument, but well, enough of Alabama. I'm about to be sick.
Well, we're not going to go enough about Alabama because we're going to go right into Heisman talk. Tua's not hurt. Tua plays. He's right now the front runner for the Heisman. You got Kyler Murray, who is now creeping in there. And they're giving – here's my problem with Kyler Murray. We'll get on a little bit. Whatever. Will Greer is the number three. Gardner Minshew from Washington State at four. And they got Quinnen Williams, the Alabama defensive lineman, at five. So those are your five, top five. Your three finalists, we already know, Tua, Kyler, and Will Greer. My question to you is not who's going to win the Heisman. My question to you is who's left out? Who do you think should be in there? Is there, if there's anyone else other than those three, do you think somebody else should be in there? Kyle?
Who is the other two after Tua? I'm looking at Tua's odds right now, and his odds.
Right, I mean, he's heavily favored. He's got eight of the ten first place votes.
Well, yeah, because Vegas dropped his odds because he left Saturday's game, which is
right.
It is so stupid.
Gardner Minshew from Washington State. The kid's doing great.
There's no doubt.
And Quinnen Williams, the defensive lineman from Alabama.
He's a ball player.
He is, and I'll give you a couple behind Dwayne Haskins.
Here's
Jonathan Taylor.
No, I will piggyback on your boy. I will say Kyler Murray. Even though I called Tua winning the Heisman at the beginning, our very first show, I said Tua would win it. He kind of shut me up a little bit because I said it was mainly the guys around him, but he's the kid's a baller. But I'd say Kyler Murray. I'm very impressed with Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray's the second best quarterback in college football right now. I don't think he's got the weapons around him. I think if you put him on Alabama, they look the same.
Right.
If you switch Tua and Kyler Murray, I think they're the same. Kyler Murray might be more electric because of his legs. I mean, they both could sling it, though. I think Tua might be a little more accurate, though.
Nick, what you got?
I think it's a disservice to have Will Greer at three. I think that if Tua doesn't finish the season, that Will Greer is the one who takes the Heisman. Tua's put up good enough numbers. Alabama's the best team in the country, best player on the best team, usually wins the Heisman. Plus, not to take anything away from Tua, he's absolutely balling, like Kyle said. But right. Will Greer, he deserves to be. I mean, how Kyle could say that Tua is the second best. I mean, that Kyler Murray is the second best quarterback in college football. I'm assuming he's saying that Will Greer is the best because Will Greer is clearly better than Kyler Murray, and I think he might be a better quarterback than Tua as well. And I mean, we'll see how that goes. I mean, what would right. Will Greer be doing with Alabama's weapons? I don't know. But I think it's pretty safe to say that Kyler Murray plays in a system that has been proven to win. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Kyler Murray because he's clearly a great athlete, and he's superior in almost every way when he steps on that field. But I still don't think that he's superior to Will Greer as far as arm talent and just overall knowledge of like field vision.
Right. In
West Virginia, Dana yeah. Holgorsen, he breeds quarterback numbers out here. And I mean, we're acting like Oklahoma. Yeah, they have a winning pedigree there. Like, but I mean, that's also with Bob Stoops. That's also with Bob Stoops. With now you got
quarterback.
You got Lincoln Riley now, who's a different coach.
Easy on that. Easy on that.
And so, I think that because you're a quarterback, when you watch these games and you've clearly seen Will Greer play quite a bit, I'm sure you've seen Will Greer play more than you have Kyler Murray. And I just think you're doing a disservice to him and yourself to say that Kyler Murray's better than him as a quarterback.
Because
Kyler Murray does a lot of other things as well.
I said a college quarterback.
Okay, so I'm not going to argue either one of y'all. I'm going to give you a little bit a different side of things. To me, Kyler Murray, the only reason why he's in this discussion is because their defense is god-awful, and he's having to make these plays, first of all. That's the number one reason. If Oklahoma's defense wasn't so shit-ass bad, then Kyler Murray wouldn't have to do what he does. Just imagine, stop and think for a second. If you had teams not blowing teams out, but always trailing or always fighting for wins. Oklahoma's been doing that. You can't sit there and say that they've been great. They've got teams that just put up numbers on them. They have to compete. But imagine if West Virginia had that situation, or if Tua was always fighting for more and more and having to do more. His numbers would be way more out. Kyler Murray wouldn't even be in the picture. But I'm not a running back. I was a receiver. But I feel like the guy from Wisconsin is not getting any love at all. Maybe it's because they're 6-4 record, but the dude, he's rushed every game he's played for, except for the one game against Northwestern. He's been over 100 yards in 11 games. He's got 3 200-yard games. He's got 1,900 yards and 13 touchdowns. And he is, what, 7th on the list, 8th on the list? Jonathan Taylor. He's 7th on the list. He's a sophomore. 7th on the list. He's followed by Travis Etienne. Shout out to Travis Etienne. He's right here from Jennings, Louisiana.
Yep.
And he's put up good numbers. And honestly, the other three behind him, Henderson, Milton from UCF, who's played against ass-backwards teams, and then DeAndre Swift from Georgia. I really don't – they're just there to be there.
I can tell you why he's not getting any love, because the Heisman doesn't go to running backs anymore. It hasn't for a while. Derrick Henry snuck in there. But prior to Derrick Henry, it was Mark Ingram. And then prior to him, it was Reggie Bush. So in the last 13 years, only three non-quarterbacks have won it. And it's just – it's hard to do. And Ingram, I feel, even though Ingram had decent numbers, I feel like he got it because they were dying to give Alabama their first Heisman winner.
Right. And, you know, I agree with you on that whole Ingram thing. But, I hate to say it, but I really feel like if Tua goes out in some form of way, or if he doesn't play this week, and Kyler Murray continues to, they're gonna give it to Kyler Murray. I think Will Greer is more deserving, and I'm not riding Nick's coattail on that. But that's just, you know what I'm saying. That's just kind of how I feel. I think Will Greer is a more of a deserving. He's a better quarterback. I think he, like Nick said, he's the best quarterback coming out of college or coming in his class or this season. He's the best quarterback that they have.
Yeah, pro ready, but I would say,
but he doesn't have the weapons.
No, I wouldn't. I don't know, man. I like Kyler Murray.
Everybody judges quarterbacks as far as like pro ready or like, yo, you're a quarterback. You play the position. You can throw. You can run. Whatever it is that makes you good at that, because you can lead, because you can read a field. Like, there's different things that make different quarterbacks great. Peyton Manning didn't always have the strongest arm, but he was able to read the field and throw people open and make short, conservative passes. Tom Brady lives by the dip and dunk. I don't feel like you have to have like all this crazy talent to be an NFL quarterback or like all these different things. So he's like saying that he's a good college quarterback. If he's a good quarterback, he should be able to transition his game accordingly, like a Russell Wilson.
I'm more or less talking about stature. He could take a pound. I don't believe Tua and Kyler Murray could take the pounding that NFL. I mean, even though it's a lot softer now, but either way, I don't think they could withstand in the NFL. They're smaller guys. They're not, you know. I mean, Greer's not any Cam Newton, but I mean, he's you know, I feel like Will Greer's a bigger guy that can withstand some of that.
Well, I give me your dark horse. Obviously, we know Tua, Greer, and Kyler Murray. Your dark horse. You have a dark horse.
Go ahead, Nick.
Like I said, my dark horse is Jonathan Taylor. I'm giving Jonathan Taylor the dark horse. The dude. I tell you like this: they got two games to go. He has two games to go. That's what I'm looking at right now as far as Wisconsin is concerned and as far as Jonathan Taylor is concerned. They have two games left.
Really feeling like only like a 2 or 3-horse race, I guess Gardner Minshew would be my dark horse. I mean, I know he's in the top five, but for him to come out of the Pac-12 and from Washington State, for him to win a Heisman, I think he'd have to do something pretty special. So I would garner that as a black horse.
Here's your dark horse. Whoever wins, his name's not Tua Tagovailoa. That's who the dark horse is. It's Tua and then the field. So if Tua don't win, a dark horse won this year.
I'm okay with that. I mean, he has to stay healthy, but I'm okay with that because Bama doesn't look like they're going to lose.
Dude, it's a lot.
And he already has numbers, and he's looked good doing it. And
such a lock that if somebody else wins, it will be a surprise.
All right. Well, we've talked enough college football. We're not going to get
that's a hell of a lot, Kyle.
Lockett. I mean, you fools are over here talking about.
I'm looking at guys that have 16, 1700 yards rushing. I have guys that's going to hit the 2000 mark, you know, so got two games to go. And he sat out a game. I'm looking at guys that aren't getting noticed. Like, how many times every year is now lately, this is true. Now lately, look at it. You're going to, all these are national spotlight guys that are winning the Heisman. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. It's best not, guy on the best team. Best guy on the best team.
That's not.
Unless your name's Johnny Manziel or RG3.
It's the best overall college player.
It should be.
I agree.
It's not
the best guy on the best team. It's the best overall guy.
Joe Burrow being on the list for Davey O'Brien early in the year.
Jeez, here we go.
Come on. Bring it. What a joke that was.
So some news happened in the NFL. A couple things. We're going to get started on it. That way, because if not, we're going to be 45 minutes on Joe Burrow's sorry ass. The Mexico City, the highly anticipated Rams and Chiefs game, Monday Night Football, primetime television, has now moved to Los Angeles. Conditions of the field, absolute shit. They brought in more turf. They still don't want to take a chance on it. Look, I come from Louisiana, and I still live in Louisiana, and I hate to say this, and I'm not any professional athlete, I understand, or we're not talking college setting, but dude, I've played in some of the shittiest fields probably in America, being down here in the swamps where it's literally swamps, not like
Florida. Like, those would be the most fun. I
do understand that it's a career for them and injuries are there, but I mean, they put in new turf. Why not go with it? I mean, all these guys have bought these tickets to Mexico City. This game is in 5 days, 6 days, excuse me, whatever. 5 days when the episode comes out. Shoot me. It's in 6 days. Like, everybody that bought a ticket, all these Mexico City fans, or that the NFL has got to be shitting themselves right now because they want to go international so bad with the London games and then the Mexico City games. And they're probably going to go everywhere else eventually. But is it really that big of a deal? I mean, if you get new turf, playable turf, why change it up? Why do they make this call?
This is ridiculous because they just try to pretty it up for the field's sake, because you got two high-flying offenses. You don't want to have dirt on the field. You don't want to have every 5 yards there's a patch of grass missing, because I'm looking at it now. And the Raiders play on a baseball field. What are we talking about? They could have played on that
just
field.
Just why we're 1-7.
They could have played on that field.
If it was December.
Trip tonight.
In Kansas City, in Arrowhead, and it was snowing and all mucked up out there, they wouldn't stop the game or change the field for that game, assure you. No. I guess it being a neutral field, or it was supposed to be a neutral field, is definitely not going to be one now being played in L.A.
It was a Rams home game. It was scheduled as a Rams home game. It takes them away from home. It's kind of like when Oakland went last year. That was a Raiders home game against the.
It's like the London game when you.
Well, honestly, home game, honestly, let's read in between the lines though on this, and I think both head coaches are kind of breathing a sigh of relief that they don't have to play this game in Mexico City, A, because of that elevation. Get that out. The elevation out there. Both teams wanted to play Denver the week before. Both asked to play Denver so they could kind of get acclimated to what was going on. And obviously, I don't believe neither did. So it kind of – but I know both of them were – that was a concern for them, and they mentioned it. So, I mean, I think both of them were kind of breathing a sigh of relief that, hey, we don't have to do that. We don't have to do anything. Right. Kind of out of the norm that guys, veterans, have done before. Veterans have been to LA now. It's been a couple years, so
it's gonna be. I'm gonna tell you right now, it's gonna be a show. They're at least in the spotlight. They're at a decent field. They've got something to play on. They're gonna light them up. The over under on this game, 64, the highest ever over under, 64 points. Kyle, over under, 64.
I'm going over because I mean they went over that with Seattle.
They went over it with New Orleans too. So
yeah. So I mean, I see them going over that.
I think it's an easy under. These are the games that everybody expected to be a shootout, and then it ends up being a tight, you know, defensive battle that with turnovers and just We'll see how it goes, but I think it'll be for sure under. I think it'll be under by quite a bit.
I'm going to go over, but I'm going to go over, and we're going to follow this up. We're going to do a follow-up. You ever, like, when you're on the stand and you have a follow-up, we're going to follow up. I'm going over, but I'm going St. Louis actually wins this. I mean St. Louis. Los Angeles will win this now, I think. No matter what I said at the beginning of the year, I think Los Angeles wins this game. And I think it's because I honestly feel like Dante Fowler Jr. and that defensive front for the Rams is going to put pressure on Patrick Mahomes that he hasn't seen all year. And I think the kid's going to baffle a little bit. I think he's going to struggle a little bit. You hear it right here first, folks. I'm calling it. I think Patrick Mahomes actually struggles this game. I think the Rams win. Well, shit. I was going to say, you know what? I said over, I'm going under. Why? Because Cooper Kupp's out. They win. I think they win by, 14 to 17.
Sammy Watkins might
be out as well. That's what I'm saying. So they may win by 17, 14 points. It may be like, 31 to 14 or 31, 17 or whatever.
He may struggle, but it won't be because he hasn't seen Dante Fowler. He already got to see Dante Fowler once this year.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. They saw Dante Fowler without Ndamukong Suh, without Aaron Donald. You're right. Continue on. Don't worry about anything.
Dude, Dante's got a hell of a defensive line as well. They've got names on their defensive line. That's not the problem. Dante Fowler is an absolute baller. Don't get me wrong.
They haven't done anything this year. Their defensive line has not showed up. Their secondary has not showed up. You got Jalen Ramsey out there playing 28 yards off the damn ball. What does it matter?
You don't even want to get me started on the Jags right now because the Jags are trashing a
bunch. All right, whoa. We'll start that in a second. Get your picks. Who you got, Nick? KC or the Kansas
City.
Rams?
Kansas City.
You got Kansas City.
Kansas City by 10.
Oh, God.
Double digits. No, I got a tight six-point game where the Rams get this one out.
With the over, though.
With the over, yes, sir.
It's a shootout.
Yeah.
Okay, so we obviously touched on everything else with the Cooper Kupp injury. We know he's going to be out. Watkins may be out. Let's see. What else?
Let's get Nick on the soapbox for the Jags real quick.
Here's an easy segue. Who's your most disappointing team in the NFL this year?
The Oakland Raiders.
No, that wasn't a surprise, that was expected. That was expected.
Honestly, that's tough. You could argue New Jacksonville, York. But you can also – I can't argue New York. You can argue – I can argue Jacksonville as being a disappointment. But
you could argue Atlanta. You could argue Atlanta, even though they're surging a little bit, even though they did take another kind of – they took
Green
two
Bay,
steps.
Green Bay
they
deserves took, being that conversation.
I think Philadelphia, to me, is in that conversation, especially after taking a loss to Dallas. And it's not because they won the Super Bowl, but you won the Super Bowl and you brought back pretty much everybody. Am I right? I mean, then you just added Golden Tate, which he was hardly used that game. I watched most of that game. For the most part, what I saw, they didn't really utilize Golden Tate. I get it. He's new, and he probably was not big on the offense or whatever, but.
Didn't stop Amari Cooper.
Huh?
Didn't stop Amari Cooper in his first game, although he did have a bye week.
So, he had time. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You put Cooper out there, and you let Cooper go at it, and play and catch balls and so on and so forth. You should have let Golden Tate do a little more. I think out of all said and done, Philadelphia is my underachiever of the year so far.
I think that's fair. I think Philadelphia is definitely underachieved. What about you, Kyle?
Atlanta's definitely underachieved. I figured Atlanta would have Carolina's record right now. I figured, and this has been 2 years now that Atlanta has taking that big step to the Super Bowl and then drop down. And then, then this year, off to the slow start, they reel a few off, take two steps forward just to take a big one back by losing to the Browns. Now, they're a disappointment, but I think the biggest disappointment for me is the Jags because, obviously I live in Jacksonville.
But that's a homegrown answer. That's a homegrown answer.
I'm here. I hear local media here more than I hear anywhere else. So, I hear these guys talking, and the defense talked like they were better than any defense has ever stepped on a field. So, I think with the way they've ended up, they're a bigger disappointment because Atlanta was out here, but Atlanta was trying to put people on notice, but Atlanta wasn't doing GQ interviews and bashing every other team that their team played that year, or bashing every other quarterback or stuff like that. I mean, you had – I mean, and you got guys like Tayshaun Gibson coming out saying he belonged – before the season, he belongs. He's the number one safety in the AFC and in the league or whatever. And, I mean, you right. do have studs. I mean, you try to downplay Jags a little bit with their D-line. I mean, their D-line is – I mean, they're not as many sacks. They're not – they didn't have Dante, as many sacks as they had last year.
Dante Fowler trade hurt them now. And Dante Fowler is a stud. I don't know how they got rid of him.
I like Dante. I really did like Dante. I've liked Dante coming ever since he came out of Florida.
Yeah,
but
he's a good kid.
Yeah,
good,
I like him.
Good motor. No, he's a great motor. Not as a kid, but he's a great motor.
Yeah.
He's got a great on-field motor.
Yeah, he's nasty. He's got that. Yeah. He's got that nasty in him. So, but their numbers aren't gaudy like they were last year. But I mean, it's no team's gonna back up what they did the year previous when they put up the numbers they just put up. You know. So I mean, Ngakoue's got 5 sacks, I think. Campbell's got 5. You know, I mean, those aren't crazy numbers, but I mean, I'm sure that they're closer to middle of the pack rather than lower.
Okay, what do you got, Nick?
Well, I think we can all agree that the NFL has changed the rules quite a bit over the last few years, and it's really, really favored the quarterbacks, and it's evident in the records of the top teams in the NFL that all of them have good quarterbacks. You look, you find what team is Drew Brees on, and they're 8-1. You find out what team is Tom Brady on, and they've got 6 or 7 wins. It's all, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is taking the league by storm. Where's Phillip Rivers at? He's 7-2.
Jared Goff.
Look at
the only one that ain't doing it is probably Aaron Rodgers, and I just don't understand that. So
call the Chargers. Put that little bit in there.
And I think that the Jacksonville's main problem is
Chargers are gonna choke.
He hasn't been the reason for all of their losses, but it's from a much larger perspective when you're looking at the quarterback position. Like, no, he didn't do anything in each of those games to lose. Like, all 6 of those losses aren't on him. And there's plenty of times where he played well and they still lost, but it's his style of play. It's what you lack when he's on the field. You lack a real 2-minute offense. You lack a deep threat in the field. You have these receivers that can open the field. D.D. Westbrook was in the Heisman voted, finished top 5 in the Heisman because of his numbers. DJ Chark was the fastest wide receiver in the 40 last year. You have things that stretch the field with not a quarterback to do it.
He got a lot of things. And I guess the best analogy that I can look at, I kind of pulled this off to one of the stations the other day, that you look at somebody like, I'm gonna throw, like, to me, the Jaguars, it's they're like the 76ers right now. You got Markelle Fultz in the game who can't shoot, but you gotta have someone that's being Bortles. You gotta be able to keep the defense honest and true. And with Bortles in the backfield, you don't have that. They know his limitations. They know what he can do. Yes, he can get lucky here and there and make a play, make a run, make a pass or whatever. But in order for everybody else to be open and shoot their shots, so to speak, Blake Bortles has got to make his. You know what I'm saying?
Defenses live with that. They live with that.
Exactly. So they know what Blake Bortles' limitations are. They know that he is not a premier quarterback. He never will be. And until they get someone, and this is my opinion on Jacksonville, once they get a quarterback that can keep that defense off the field a little bit, and they've got someone that they know that they could sit back there and work, I think Jacksonville will stand out. But until that happens, and as long as Blake Bortles is back there, Jacksonville's always going to be susceptible. You know, it's just they're gonna be that team that's like, oh, well, just let Blake Bortles try to control the game and we'll win. So,
well, yeah, because I mean, Blake, for Blake Bortles to be your quarterback to win, you have to play a perfect game all around. You know, you have the running game's got to be going, the defense has to be going. There has to be a big play. You know, on special teams, there's something big happening. It's always got to be something. Right. More with him.
A multitude of things going on with this dumpster fire. I mean, it's like you told me earlier in the week. For such a great defense, you have a lot of guys looking around with their hands up in the air, shrugging their shoulders like, well, what the hell happened? You have blown coverages, missed assignments, not filling your gaps. You have undersized linebacker getting broken in the open field and then not being the man in coverage that he's supposed to be. It's just there's a lot of things going on that are missed, and then there was a report that came out today that said Jalen Ramsey basically went renegade and did whatever he wanted on defense this weekend that he wasn't even going by the play calls.
Well, I don't know about
disturbing right there, but with the Jags, they kind of overlook their good parts.
Right, make this quick.
Okay, yeah. Their good parts overshadowed their bad parts. As far as like their safeties are not very strong. We were talking about that last year. They don't have that good. Their safeties are average. You know, their corners covered that up. Their D line covered that up. They have other issues in a lot of other places in offense that, you know, the run game covered up.
Well, my final point on that is wins and losses determine your attitude and determine how you play, in my opinion, have a lot to do with it. You start losing a lot of games. You start getting reports at cornerbacks and everybody's going rogue or everybody's doing their own thing. Losses will mentally, if you're not prepared for it, they're going to break you. So, all right, let's move on.
They're not as bad as the Raiders, but they're bad.
Just, you know what, man, let's move on. Hey, don't get me started. I will be there December 9th, and we'll talk then. Last NFL segment, then we'll touch on a little bit else outside of those two sports. And I say last, Le'Veon Bell. We're going to touch on this real quick. Le'Veon Bell. He did not report today. He was supposed to, which, by the way, it was almost like the LeBron, the decision. They had a whole special on whether he would report or not. ESPN had a freaking countdown. Okay, ridiculous. He does not report. He loses almost $15 million. My question to you, make this quick. I don't want to go into details. You could talk very briefly on his decision to do what he's done. He's got contenders next year. Where does he end up next year? Where does he end up next year? I mean, a lot of people are saying the Jets. Do you feel the Jets are going to need him? You got teams, including Oakland. That's a very good suit. I mean, as far as financially.
Yeah,
now with all these trades, go with it. Who do you think he's going to go, and what do you think about his decision to sit out?
I'll be quick. I think he goes to the Jets. I think he's making the right decision in sitting out. He's making a statement for the rest of the league to piggyback off of and use in the collective bargaining agreement later in the future so that these guys can actually get their due. And I think that unfortunately, he had to be the guy to step in, but I also believe that he may be getting money or sponsorships from the outside to, you know, help him sustain this loss of money. But I think he ends up with the Jets, but I do think it would be funny if the Steelers were to use the transition tag on Le'Veon Bell. And for those who don't know, the transition tag guarantees the original club the right of first refusal to match any offer the player may make with another team. And basically what that means is that if the Jets decide to sign him to a supermax mega deal,
the Steelers have opportunity Steelers to match
then
that,
get the chance to say, hey, we're going to pay him that and keep him here. So I would like to see that just to kind of be like just an FU to the whole situation and just to add to the circus. But I don't actually have any issue with what he's done, and I kind of think it's probably for the greater good.
Kyle?
Yeah, I would say as far as the transitional tag, that only works out for Pittsburgh if he gets lowballed, you know, where all these other teams are like, you know, we're not paying you $42 million a year what you're wanting, or $50 million, whatever he's wanting. I know the number came out for him to make back.
He wants $15 million a year, but he wants, you know, $40 million guaranteed, pretty much. Yeah. He wants what roughly he feels like he should deserve, and we all do pretty much. He's up there with Todd Gurley. I mean, he wants Gurley money. He's a Gurley back. That sounded awful, but he's a Todd Gurley back. He's a back that impacts the game on all facets. Yes.
I think that would be a crazy plot twist right there if that were to happen, because I don't think he's going to make that $42 million to make up what he missed this year, because that's what he's going to need to make up what he missed this year.
That was all the money we had, Karen.
I believe he goes to the 49ers. I think the 49ers have enough money to spend. I think they really believe in Jimmy G. I really think that they are trying to build something.
That's a lot
of
money to put in two players.
Yeah, but you already got Matt Breida doing well.
Here's also – well.
Very well,
yeah, they're very well at one win this year, or two wins. They're doing very well. But
you're going to Nick Mullins.
So when did Jimmy G go out again? When did he get hurt? Huh?
Week one or preseason, yeah.
It was done.
I think it was week two. It was week two he got injured, I believe.
And they weren't they 1-0? Didn't they win the first week?
I'm not sure, but you need more than one running back. And they shipped off Carlos Hyde. Jarrett McKinnon's hurt. You don't know what he's gonna have when he gets
back. They had more than one. They had Jarrett McKinnon and they had Matt Breida. And then you also, I mean, that's a lot of teams just go with two running backs. When one goes down, yeah, I think they're all in the same boat.
Yeah, I just covered where they traded Carlos Hyde, and then they had Jerick McKinnon, who tore his ACL. Who knows how he's going to come back? So
still had that
guy
just broke his arm. So
you have Matt Breida, and then you sign Le'Veon Bell, and guess what? This is how you win in the NFL. You spend all your money on offense, not defense. That's how you win in the NFL. You get a ragtag group on defense, guys that could play a scheme and get it going, because it's hard to just play a scheme on offense with a bunch of guys. All right, you could play defense with a bunch of guys. You know, you could get some guys to run around and make plays. It's harder to do that on offense, where that's why you see all these dynasties and all these guys and, like, you know, these good teams. That's why the Rams will be around for a little while, because they have a good offense with a decent defense. They spent some money on that defensive side. But either way, I do believe that, you know, he goes with the 49ers. And I think he doesn't get paid the $42 million, but I think he gets paid handsomely.
Okay. I think he stays in the division just to stick it to Pittsburgh. That would be my plot twist. I don't know who can afford him. The Ravens would probably be the best fit for him, especially if they got Lamar Jackson and they got our
Joe Flacco go. You get rid of his contract.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, I think that's the way to stick it to him twice a year, if that's the case. Speaking of dynasty, speaking of people that can put up points and score and last and offensives, the Saints, they signed Dez Bryant last week.
Who did? Right?
That's right. Now Dez Bryant tore his Achilles last play of practice. So instead of just saying, you know what, we were, 8-1 without him, and we signed him to increase our odds, they went and got Brandon Marshall, who just got released from Seattle. What are your thoughts on that?
No, he just got released from the insane asylum. That's where he got released from.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. Off the field, whatever he wants to do, as a ball player, Brandon Marshall is a stud. He was always a stud. He was a stud, and I feel like he was a stud, and when he played for the Jets, he was when he played for Chicago. When he got out there and played ball, he's a
when he wants to. When he wants to, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. When he wants to play, when he puts his mind to it, and he's done that several years. This isn't just a fluke 6 games out of the year. He's done this several years. He's been a viable option.
So my question is, did he not want to in Seattle? I mean, you have a good quarterback with Russell Wilson. I mean, a lot of people compare Russell Wilson to Drew Brees. So, I mean, what's going to be the difference that he's going to be out here? I've been on record – not on Slaw Office record, but I've been on record as saying that Dez or Brandon Marshall really doesn't matter. I didn't believe these guys were going to be big key contributors anyways. I believe that they're just going to be guys that open up space for the playmakers that are already making plays. Kamara, Thomas, you got Ben Watson, you know, he's kind of making plays now. And then Ingram, of course. So and then the rookie Smith, Traquan Smith. So, I mean, these guys are making plays. I believe those two guys were brought in to be kind of Jimmy Graham-ish, to box out a guy and let Drew Brees throw it where a defender can't and you just catch it.
First of all, Traquan Smith, you're a bum in my opinion, simply because I've had you in fantasy and you've put up goose eggs for several weeks. Now.
I mean, Drew Brees, go to any Drew Brees receiver other than Marcus Colston and Michael Thomas. These guys jump around all the time. You can't blame a rookie for why Drew Brees is spreading the butter all over the field.
Okay.
Listen, Brandon Marshall is one of the 22 best receivers to ever play football up to this point. He's exactly 22nd in receiving yards and 22nd in receiving touchdowns for a career, and he's done it with ass at quarterback. I mean, he's done it with four or five different quarterbacks and had 1,000 yard receiving and 100 yard or 100 catch years under three different quarterbacks. I mean, he has every reason for you to believe that he can do it. Like, I understand that he's getting old, but now you're going to give him Drew Brees, the best quarterback that he's ever gotten the opportunity to play
behind. That's the point I was about to make to Kyle, because he's sitting there and saying Russell Wilson is Drew Brees-esque. Yes, but I was about to say, if you're a wide receiver and you're like, hey, man, do you want to get Russell Wilson throwing you the ball or Drew Brees? Who are you going
to
choose?
Drew Brees couldn't do anything. I mean, Russell Wilson is not Drew Brees-esque, because they only compare him to Drew Brees because of his size and his stature.
I'm telling you what Kyle
did
just
nothing
said.
With Jimmy
that's
Graham.
Not out of me. That's not my word. That's
he
not
did
my
nothing
word.
With Jimmy Graham, and Drew Brees made Jimmy Graham look like a top tight end of all time for a season.
So we're bashing Russell Wilson now. We're saying Russell Wilson's not that good.
No, I'm just saying that Russell Wilson is no Drew Brees.
I said he's been compared to Drew Brees.
I agree. He has been compared to him. I disagree with the comparisons. He only gets compared to him because of his size and his stature.
All right, listen. The kid's a good quarterback. So what was my point was why couldn't Brandon Marshall play well with Russell Wilson. You
because
tell
Russell
me.
Wilson, what Russell Wilson is a 50-plus guy, a 45-yard plus, 25 yards plus. He's not. He doesn't have a whole lot of touchdowns in the red zone as far as passing, like Doug Baldwin's numbers, Tyler Lockett's numbers. Those guys get big plays because Russell Wilson extends the play in the backfield and gets them open downfield where they're able to run free.
Dude, I watched the Seattle game, and dude, for the first half, if not two and a half quarters, Russell Wilson had more rushing yards than passing yards.
He doesn't have an offensive line.
Yeah, he's running for his life.
He's just, dude, come on, dude.
He doesn't utilize big targets in the red zone.
The dude's been running for his life for the last four years. Marshawn Lynch has been the one to even come out. Marshawn Lynch's mom came out and said how horrible the Seattle Seahawks line is back then when they had him. They're still bad. They got names. That's who they have now. They have a bunch of names who are nobodies.
Okay, but you can't sit there and say as a Saints fan, which you are, that you are completely butthurt when Jimmy Graham left to go to Seattle. You're like, oh, my God, Jimmy Graham's the best target we've got, one of the best targets we have, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I thought it was a bad move. I thought it was a bad move to trade him for Max Unger. Yes, I thought it was a very bad move.
2 years later, Drew Brees makes Benjamin Watson look great.
Yeah, but with that said.
Anybody look great, and he's going to do that with Brandon Marshall. But as a limited player and someone who's experienced like that, when you've got guys out there other than Benjamin Watson, where's your experience?
All I'm saying is Brandon Marshall was great without Drew Brees. Brandon Marshall is great, and now that he has Drew Brees, there's absolutely no reason not to think that he's not going to be a viable red zone target.
Listen, I'm not saying Drew Brees doesn't make people great because he does. All right, he's that guy. But I think the Saints might have got rid of Jimmy Graham. Kind of they pulled a Patriots where they got rid of them, they got rid of them at the right time. So I mean,
If Jimmy Graham stays there 2 to 3 more years, 4 years, whatever, continues his career there, Jimmy Graham is a top 3 to 5 all time tight end.
You already have that rapport with Drew Brees. You have to build a new rapport with a new quarterback, and then you have to learn the playbook, and then you have to stay on top of your regiment every single day. Make sure you're working out still good. Make sure you're still running doing your same routine. And
Drew Brees is so good, he just puts it on you. You can just run out there, and he's going to put it on you. If you can catch a football, you're going to score touchdowns.
Yeah, it's a 40-yard handoff.
Jimmy Graham's ass, or is it Russell Wilson that's ass, or is it Aaron Rodgers? Because Jimmy Graham's with Aaron Rodgers right
none
now.
None of them are ass. It's just Drew Brees is that great. What are his numbers now? What, he just passed Brett Favre for second of all time?
But here, what? Because now we're getting into Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, I would start, if I had a draft right now, I was starting a league, say I own the Jags or own the Saints, I'm probably picking Aaron Rodgers for the next 10 years, you know, and that's with Drew Brees, who I believe will play another five.
All right. What other about people 7 don't think years that, ago?
7 years, it's Drew Brees. This guy was still dunking. This guy 2 years ago, even last year or before they outlawed it, he's dunking on the goalpost when he scores. I mean, this guy ain't retiring anytime soon. He's jumping over the line and diving in the end zone still. He's been doing that for 10 years now. I mean, look, the guy's a freak show, but once we start saying because he made Jimmy Graham good, is Russell Wilson good, is Aaron Rodgers good? Listen, these guys are studs. All right, I think they just got rid of Jimmy Graham at the right time.
I think Jimmy Graham is a premier, at least was a premier receiving tight end.
Seven years ago, Aaron Rodgers won his first wide receiver numbers. So 7 years ago, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's how good Drew Brees is. It has nothing to – like, even 7 years ago when Aaron Rodgers came off of a Super Bowl win, you still believe in Drew Brees for the next 10 years.
Because that was Drew Brees 7 years ago. If you give me Drew Brees right now, the same age as Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to pick Drew Brees. But I'm talking about age and longevity. That's why I said Drew will only last 5 years. Aaron will last 10-plus.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron hasn't even played in the last 5 years hardly.
Listen.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers.
And since we were talking – we want to talk about guys that don't have a freaking line to block. This guy, man, he gets freaking pummeled every year.
Because he wants to get paid all the damn time.
You're dead wrong.
Listen, he was just on their local radio show 2 months ago.
He just got a good deal, right? And that's the first time he's ever really been paid by Green Bay.
But he had been – he's always –
He's always stayed back and wanted more help. Green Bay's never got him more help.
Paid the first time he was the highest paid, and then Matt Ryan got paid after him.
Listen, Green Bay has always been the team over or well under the cap.
Right.
Because they always get their homegrown guys that they draft. They get their homegrown guy because he deserves it. He's not a guy getting a new deal every 3 years like you're claiming right now.
In turn, you can't have an offensive – you can't pay for an offensive line when you make that kind of –
You're telling me because they pay one guy that they can't pay for anybody else.
All right, so here's what
even if it's a quarterback.
What we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do.
For Jimmy Graham.
We're going to table it.
And Brian Bulaga. You don't remember Brian Bulaga? He was a big-time free agent. They had to re-sign 3 years ago.
Let's wrap this up. We have other topics we want to talk about. We didn't get to them. We didn't get to anything on the NBA with Draymond's situation. We didn't get to the Jimmy Butler thing. It's not really that big of a deal. Whatever. We're moving on. We're finishing up right now. As far as our topics are concerned, who's your favorite to win in the Super Bowl now? Go. Make it quick.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh.
New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
Robbie.
Yeah, mark them down.
Where are you at, Robbie? Where are you at with it?
God. I really don't want to say this.
On November 13th, Tuesday, 9:05 Eastern. What do you got, Rob?
If you say the Raiders, I'm going to fly to Louisiana.
He ain't going
to
say Raiders. He knows better than that.
I think with the acquisition of Brandon Marshall, I think the Saints are now the front runner for the Super Bowl. I think with the acquisition of Dez Bryant, they weren't. Bryant's younger. He's more athletic, but I think Brandon Marshall is a better receiver. He's more sure-handed. He's got antics, but I feel like with Drew Brees at the helm, Brandon Marshall is going to give those younger guys, the Michael Thomas, the Kamara, the Ben Watson, even he's older, but Ben Watson, he's going to give them their space. Tre'Quan Smith's going to sit his crusty ass on the bench this week. And if he goes off because of Brandon Marshall, I'm going to be super pissed because these last couple of weeks of my fantasy have been absolute ass. All right, so last week we did something, or excuse me, 2 weeks ago we did something that we haven't done all year. We did it because we thought it would be fun because we were like, you know what, I'm better than you and you're not better than me and we're going to see whose dick's bigger. We did a pick 'em, college and NFL. We had several games. We're going to do it again. I'm going to send the list out tomorrow to the guys. We're going to make our picks for tomorrow. So once this episode comes out tomorrow, check our Facebook page. You'll see our pick-ems. Real quick, off the top of our head, as far as our pick-ems concerned, I will put the graph up. I'll put the poll and the records up. College football, I went 4-1. I got everything right but the Texas A&M-Auburn game. Thank you for A&M shitting the bed against Auburn. This was 2 weeks ago, not last week against Mississippi, Ole Miss, whatever. Just so you know, this was 2 weeks ago. I thought I was going to go perfect sweep in college football, but my Aggies shit the bed and let Auburn come from behind and win. Surprise. So I did go suck it. So we're 4-1. Kyle, who's delusional, absolutely on the crystal meth. He was smoking something that was in the air in Florida. I think he was catching some of those California wildfires because he was done for. He chose LSU over Alabama like a moron, and he went 2-3 in the college because he also was an idiot and chose A&M and Penn State over Michigan.
I knew I shouldn't have chose A&M because they don't have a front seven.
Well, anyways, Kyle goes 2-3 in college football. So Saturday, you did. Saturday was dead and gone. Nick comes through, and Nick goes 4-1. He makes the right pick at Auburn. Alabama and Michigan, obviously, with Georgia. We all picked Georgia. I'm not even talking about it over Kentucky. But he picked over West Virginia. He's been preaching and sucking off Will Greer all year long, and then he chooses Texas. Very conflicting, very unbecoming of you, Nick Peretti. I don't understand you.
I need answers.
So we go to the NFL. Jets and Dolphins played. Jets were the better team, in my opinion. Dolphins just were better that week. I thought that the Dolphins had been sucking ass. Nick, you got that one right. So let's go down here. Nick went 3-2 in the NFL, picks the Dolphins over the Jets, picks the Patriots, which we all did, over the Packers, picks the Saints over the Rams, and he picked the Browns over the Chiefs, who he thinks is now the Super Bowl contenders. So
he was a week too early on that Browns pick.
He's contradicting himself. And then he misses the Cowboys pick as well. So actually, I'm sorry, he was 3-3. Overall, Nick
I think he was just trying to gain a game with the Browns pick. I think he was just trying to go
The 2-point bonus pick. We're going to do something different on the pick 'em this coming up week. We're going to have our games. We're going to let each other pick our bonus pick, our upset pick. It has to be an upset. So, and then that'll be your 2-point bonus, but I'll go a little bit further than that. Kyle, me and you missed the Jets, but you also missed the Ravens. I picked the Steelers. Kyle went, he picked the Titans, which was the only one. Kyle went 4-2 in the NFL. 4-2 in the NFL, so he was, 6-5 overall. So 6 points for Kyle.
Nose above water.
That's it. Nick goes 7. He gets seven. So let's see. Got 7 points. And let's see. I go with 7 points as well. I picked the Steelers, Patriots, and the Chiefs to win. I picked the Cowboys. They lost. Also picked the Rams over the Saints. The only one that did that and made that stupid mistake. So. What do we have?
So basically you've changed your gear a little bit after that game 2 weeks ago. Now the Saints are favored.
I really don't know. Look.
They're hot right now.
My thing is, dude, I live in Louisiana. I'm surrounded by Saints fans. I'm a Raiders fan. I catch enough shit. The Saints are the fans, and this I'm going to tell you like this, and I know this from experience, and I'm pretty quick. The Saints are a great football team. They are a Super Bowl contender. There's no doubt in my mind. But the problem is the Saints fans, they have every excuse in the world when they lose, but when they win, they're the greatest team on earth. They don't shut up. They just blow up all social media and everything else when they're winning games. It drives me absolutely nuts. I'm boring your couch again, Kyle, just so you know. Saints fans, you drive me insane. Dude, you blow it up. Over and over and over and over and over and over again on every win that you got, like y'all are the greatest team on earth. You got a great team. You're very hot this year. You do have a Super Bowl contender. There's no doubt in my mind. But, man, just when y'all lose, y'all don't say shit. Y'all are quiet. Y'all are just like LSU fans. Y'all start chirping. There's crickets.
I mean, whose team comes out and just absolutely goes ape shit on social media when they lose? You know, I mean.
I support mine every day.
So do I. I mean, I'm a support mine regardless. I supported mine forever LSU after 29-0 in Death Valley. And there it is.
I'm just saying, I make comments. I do this and that. You know, I'm going to support my team. A&M, Oakland, you guys are my team. I'm going to love you till I die. It's just,
yeah, that's what it's about. That's what it's about.
You know, but it's like, how many posts can you make in a day after you win? Because with Saints fans, it's like 67.
Oh, God. I mean, if the Raiders were to ever win, we would see what y'all had to say.
No, you wouldn't, because you only have like 2 Raider friends. It'd be fine. I'm just surrounded by it, so I'm salty, man. I'm surrounded by these guys. It drives me nuts. So, Saints fans, I'm just tired of you.
They're giddy. Come on now. We're giddy. You know, they're giddy over there, and Saints everywhere are giddy.
You're a top 3 contender for the Super Bowl. I think you're the favorite with Brandon Moore. I think you're good. God, it hurts in every single.
I think they were more of a favorite with Dez, though. I'm not big on Brandon Marshall, man.
Doesn't matter. Saints fans, just do me a favor. Just, you don't have to sit down, but just get away from me for a little bit.
All right. Well, yeah.
Go, Kyle. Do what you do.
All right. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I knew this was going to come, so that's why this weekend I went out and, you know, bought a sectional so make this couch a little bit bigger. Because I'm going to throw in there a couple guys from, you know, the Jags secondary. All right. First, I'm going to start off with a guy that, you know, I've never been really high on when he came from Cleveland. You know, I mean, we got Tayshaun Gibson claiming that he's the best safety in the world. Who knows? The AFC, the world, who cares? Claims he's the best. He plays, you know, talks like Tarzan, plays like Jane a lot. But the real guy I'm wanting to sit down right here is Jalen. All right, Jalen Ramsey, you know, 2020 vision, 20 island. Like Nick talked about, it's stupid, man. Like Nick talked about, if this guy really went rogue, are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding? Yeah, you're not only I'm gonna stick it to my coaches, the organization, fans who are not on this. Bro, it's the brother right next to you. It's the man standing right next to you who you're going to battle for. Not anybody else. All right. And then we get to the point of where then he wants to tweet out, because by the way, he's blocked every local media around. So local media, they don't know what he says on Twitter. He's on Twitter all the damn time. But then he tweets out, I don't want to say verbatim, but it was along the lines of, y'all gonna miss me when I'm gone. LOL, I'm not tripping though. I mean, so we got a guy that's supposed to be an all pro. He is all pro, was all pro last year. You're an all pro guy. You know, you're supposed to be a leader of this young team. You're supposed to be a guy that is, you know, the next face of the NFL cornerbacks. You know, you can get a little chirpy. I get that. That's what corners do. But now you're flipping the role, man. You're flipping it on your own team, on your own fans, on your own organization, and it's stupid and it's a bad look. All right? Right now, to this date, I know Nick doesn't like Pro Football Focus. Right now, he is the number 33rd ranked cornerback in the league. And it's not because of what people are saying or doing. It's because of his play on the field.
So what are you going to tell him, Kyle? So what are you going
to
tell him?
I need to tell him to get on this brand spanking new sectional couch and sit down next to all the rest of the bums. Because that's what he is this year. He's a freaking bum.
Nick Peretti.
Disappointing. So disappointing, dude.
Nick Peretti, the floor is yours for cross-examining or final arguments or whatever you want to do. I think he's taking a sidebar right now.
Yeah, we might need to put him, on the back of his
milk carton. You got milk. I was on the phone. Quentin Nelson just called. He wanted you to add Barry Church.
Nice. Oh man, I thought we were gonna have to, get a red alert out there for him.
Well, yeah, as long as we're talking about sitting down, Quentin Nelson gave Barry Church everything he wanted.
Oh yeah, he didn't sit him. Now he buried him.
So what do you got, Nick? Closing argument.
Well, look, guys, I just need you to bear with me for a second because I'm kind of torn. I'm guilty of wanting my cake and eating it too. You know, I complained about the BCS. I didn't like the system, and then they gave us the college football playoff, and I was like, "Oh, this is awesome!" And man, I love college football playoff time. It is an exciting time of year. But it has taken away from the regular season for me. And I think it also has done it to the players and other fans as well, because when your team starts to lose and they start to become, they get to a point where they know that they're not going to be in that top four, they don't have as much to play for anymore. And you can see it in early transfers. You can see it in guys not playing through injury or playing in bowl games or trying to get ready for the pros. It's a different atmosphere because they don't have as much to look forward to at the end of the year if you're not one of those top four teams or on the cusp of it. And it's hurting me. It's hard to watch in college football, and I really do. I want my cake and eat it too. I want them to expand. I know there's been talks of them going to six teams, but I think it needs to expand even more. I think that there are, and people don't believe it, but I think that there are, you know, eight teams in the country every year that could beat you on any given Saturday and possibly win. I mean, right now, if you look at the top eight teams in the country, that would have LSU playing in the college football playoff, a team that a lot of people believe that deserves to be there. It would have Oklahoma playing in the college football playoff. Those teams will get left out right now in the current structure. And I think that to expand would be a positive thing for the league or for the entire NCAA. And I think the fans would embrace it as well.
Well, guys, thank you, Nick. Thank you, Kyle. We do apologize for missing last week. Like I said, we had a bye week. We had times where
gave
we
him a little extra. Gave him a little sauce. Yeah.
So, man, normally we're going to try to be back every week. We all have families. We all have kids. We all do our thing. So we do this out of the goodness of our heart because we know how much you guys enjoy it. And we get bored every now and then, and we want to vent and talk shit to each other. With that being said, court is now adjourned. And don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Check us out on the Apple Podcast. Check us out on Google Podcast. Check us out on any podcast, Spotify. Look us up, The Slaw Office with Russo, and Peretti.